Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. And Dave, good afternoon.
Hey, happy hump day, Melody.
Oh, you know, and I think at least today I'm happy it's that day. And welcome, every listeners, and happy to you, Dave. And we had a nice day. We have Wendy Wilson joining us today, but first we're going to do the market reports. And there was pressure on gold earlier in the day, bounced back, and pretty much captured to where it was before it took a few steps backward today. We've got gold up $8 at $1,496. Silver was up 7 pennies today at $17.95. Platinum was up 3 at $926. And palladium was up about 1.3%, up $23 at $1,810. The USDX today, I'd have to imagine, was a little weaker, not a whole lot. Down 0.18 at 97.50. Crude oil was down 66 cents at 97.50. Market conditions today, you know, after they came out about the announcement from the Fed, everything went into negative territory, and it ended up reversing itself. But, you know, I think most of the upside was already locked in on his decision today. So, yeah, the Dow up 115 points at 27,186. The NASDAQ was up 27 at 8,303. And you also have S&P up 10 points, 3,046. 10-year yield, 1.80. That did decline 0.04 basis points. And let's see if there is anything else that's worth mentioning today. Not really, Dave. You know, before we bring on Wendy Wilson, everybody's happy, 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 happy. And confidence is back there roaring, and the emotion driving the market that pumped up to 76. So I don't know what Kool-Aid they're drinking, but I need some. But anyway, we got Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs, and she does each and every Wednesday, and we just love having her here on this program. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about the flu zone vaccine. Have you not seen it advertised lately on TV? Have you seen that?
No.
Well, it's really marketed as a high-dose type of influenza vaccine, so I thought we'd talk about it and see what it's about, because a lot of medicine is you're really concerned about the elderly over 65. You know, they worry about them contracting influenza.
People over 65 are not elderly.
All right. Well,
you know, be careful with that number.
All right, I shall. I'm edging it myself.
Even though I'm 39.
That's right. Every day, all the time.
Dave's up there.
Hey, Dave, got a cane yet?
Well, funny you should mention that. No, but I do have a walker.
Just all right.
Because I had recent back surgery. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, feel better and heal up fast.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, so when they're promoting the flu vaccine, this is a vaccine that's 4 times stronger than your traditional flu vaccine. So the media is often informing the public that, you know, as we get older, our immune system's weaker. And we're also told children and infants don't have an established immune system either, and they need stronger shots. So the product is called Fluzone. It's made by Safani Pasteur Pharmaceuticals, and it's advertised very aggressively. So Fluzone is marketed as this high-dose influenza vaccine, but most patients really have no idea what's in it other than it's promoted to better protect them. So what's in the shot? Well, we're told Fluzone influenza vaccine contains 4 influenza pathogens called a quadvirulent, and the vaccine is approved now for individuals as young as 6 months of age. So most patients wouldn't know if they're getting this vaccine, because usually when you're in the doctor's office, they come in with the syringe ready to go. You don't see them, you know, fill the syringe. So you got to be careful what you're getting. So Fluzone is cultured on what is called embryonated chicken eggs. So these are embryo chicken eggs. And afterward, the influenza pathogen itself is treated with a formaldehyde solution. Now, the vaccine is promoted as being thermosol or mercury-free, as well as preservative-free. Let's look at this quote from the FDA regarding Fluzone. They say, Fluzone is a high-dose injected flu vaccine formulated for people over 65 years or older, and it contains four times as much flu virus antigen than standard influenza vaccines. Now, notice they didn't say it was for children, right? But it is approved for children. Now, what this is really is an RNA split virus vaccine, and I know you're probably wondering what that is. According to prescriptionlist.com, they're saying Fluzone vaccine is chemically treated with a chemical called Triton X100. It's classified as a detergent, but it's used in laboratories and it's used in industries like nanotechnology. So the detergent is used to extract proteins and penetrate living cells. And once it's in a living cell, it can reorganize the structure within the living cell. So this is a biochemical application that changes the living organism and the relationship between their structures, such as the membrane of the cell. So it is often used to collapse a membrane cell structure. So here's a quote from the National Academy of Sciences, September 2010, about this detergent. They say detergents are widely used within biology for protein extraction from cell membranes and is also a crystallization of proteins as stabilizing agents and as membrane permeability agents. So Triton X100 is one of the most widely used surfactants to extract proteins and reorganize cell structure of living cells for transinfection. Did you get that?
I did.
What okay. is meant by transinfection?
You're going to find out in a minute.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. So it appears that the Triton X100 ingredient is used in the RNA vaccines to allow larger quantities of pathogens to invade the host. Human cells consist of proteins, enzymes, and this lipid bilayer membrane. So according to the September 28, 2010, National Academy of Sciences, their journal article says large amounts of Triton X100 or exposing cells too long to it causes toxicity and disrupts cell function. It kills the cell, it collapses the cell, and the integrity of the lipid membrane is destroyed. So scientists know it's real difficult to avoid damaging cells using this detergent agent. And it's recommended that they use concentrations less than 0.15 millimeter. So the National Academy of Science says this, any concentration of Titron X100 above 0.18 millimeter is fatal to human cells. Damage to the cell membranes is irreversible, end of quote. So according to these reports, this Titron X100 is used to split the virus cells, and these split cells are then suspended in a chemical solution that resembles the human body pH. This allows for what is called a hemagglutinin antigen concentration, and this magnifies the influenza cell's ability to attach and bind to the human cells and fuse to the surface of the membrane of the endosome of the human cell. So it's not coming off is what the point is. So according to the journal called Cell, they said in 2006, this split cell antigen allows for a pathway that normally regulates proteins and lipids and then exploits them. And this is important because these proteins and lipids are part of your natural immune system function. So what they're saying, it's a way that this vaccine can attack your macrophages that's part of your antibody immune system and hijacks them. Hijacks them. And you know, autoimmune disorders. Does that ring a bell?
It sure does.
Okay, so now the pathogens in the vaccine, the Fluzone has three strains of bird influenza and subtypes A and B, and the injected adult dose is 0.5 milliliters, and it's an arm muscle injection, intramuscular. And if we convert that 0.5 milliliters to the Titron X100, it's 500 milliliters, but we don't know how much of that detergent is in the serum per dose. That's a big question mark. So this vaccine is refrigerated, has to be kept at 35 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit. Two doses are recommended for children 6 to 8 years, and then anyone over 9 years gets one dose. And I thought it'd be really helpful to look what the packet insert says on FluZone. So let's do that. We look at the inserted documentation that comes with the vaccine vial, and we find they admit the vaccine has limited effectiveness against influenza, yet it's recommended for pregnant and lactating women, children, and geriatric populations.
Here. So wait. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you reading that directly from the...
I got it off the internet. There was a copy of the insert. Yeah.
So that's directly from the insert.
Right.
And it says that it's really not helpful.
It has limited effectiveness. Okay. Now, of course, if you look at some of the promotional material on it, it says it's like 42-43% effective against influenza. The vaccine or insert is admitting that the vaccine has components which include egg proteins, which create risk of severe allergic reactions such as anaphylaxis. And according to the clinical research, the vaccine did slightly better than the placebo. So here's the warnings.
I got another question. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it protects you, what, 40% you said?
That's what they're promoting it as. 40%.
What's the chances of a person getting the flu?
Well, it just depends on, you know.
Probably a lot lower.
Well, yeah, it depends on how strong your immune system is and who you hang around. You know, if you work at hospitals and daycares, you're probably more likely to contract something. But some of the warnings on the insert were Guillain-Barré syndrome, allergic reactions, and they had it listed as severe, including anaphylaxis and respiratory arrest, altered autoimmune competence and immune system disorders, carcinogenesis, which means it could promote cancer, mutagenesis, which means it mutates your genes, blood and lymphatic system disorders, eye disorders, nervous system disorders such as convulsions, febrile convulsions, myelitis, which is swelling of the brain, facial palsy, also known as Bell's palsy, optic neuritis, dizziness, and syncope, which is fainting, vascular disorders, respiratory disorders like wheezing, tightness of the throat with pain, skin disorders, rash, including Stevens-Johnson syndrome, which is a very painful bluish-red blisters that affect your mucous membranes. So just imagine that. Oh, gastrointestinal disorders. Pregnancy risk, they say, can be as high as 20%, but they're still collecting data. Vaccine has not been evaluated for the effects on infertility. Abnormal crying, irritability, tiredness, swelling, and pain, myalgia, vomiting, fever, and headache. Kind of sounds like flu, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah. So
very much.
And if we look at the rate of reporting on adverse reactions from these flu shots, it's always kind of been dismal. Because you know they don't associate. If you get reactions a month or so down the road, they don't think it has anything to do with the vaccine. So the true statistical raw data is really never reported from the clinical trials. So the effectiveness on drugs and especially vaccines can be highly manipulated. And I heard this fact from Dr. Anthony Morris. He was the former FDA chief of virology. I spoke to him by phone. He also told me that the vaccines were medicines highly guarded secret and the public is not told the truth about them. He says he had access to all that raw data. He was there 10 years at the FDA, and that's when he knew that, in his opinion, the vaccines are there to undermine immune function and to seed the body with disease. It's terrible. So he says vaccines are also cross-reactive. And he says these diseases can also lay dormant for many years. And that's why there's that caveat, you know, denial that the vaccine caused anything. So if we see these cross-reactive problems cropping up now, especially with the RNA vaccines, the genetically modified versions, you have different pathogens, and they create this new highly virulent disease profile, and physicians are really not and have never encountered them before. So they're kind of at in the dark. So the risk is much higher if you use a genetically modified pathogen, and also the vaccine has numerous pathogens. For instance, MMR or DPT shots have more than one disease in them. And so a good example is this polio epidemic of this rare myelitis. And what it is, it's a genetically modified polio vaccine. So this is not a polio vaccine from nature. And researchers in Canada and the United States have already published this data saying that it's been created in the lab and it doesn't react like normal polio. And then when you cross-react it with influenza vaccines, this is where you get this rare myelitis cropping up. And if you look at the graph on the CDC's website, they're reporting the rare poliomyelitis as every other year. And I think it's because the flu vaccines change yearly. And so you get this cross-reaction from the vaccines because they're giving flu shots with the polio vaccines to children, especially in the fall before they go back to school. And that's when we usually see all the myelitis crop up.
That's true.
So I think people need to do their homework. I prefer, you know, I don't really like to take vaccines, so I don't. Everybody can make their own decision, but we have some powerful herbs that will stimulate and support immune function. And if you don't allow your immune system to work properly, normally, it doesn't create antibodies to protect you. And you have 6 to 8 different immune cells working. And you have adaptive cells in there. So let's say, Melanie, you get a virus this year, and then next year you get a virus and your immune system says, oh, that kind of looks like the virus that we kicked the butt to the curb last year. So let's just take from that and we'll do an adaptogen antibody. And so the immune system's able to adjust and compensate and protect you better. So, but it can't do that if you don't let it work. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, Wendy. And you know what? The flu shot anymore, it's almost like a topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I was someplace last night and it was like breaking the ice. Hey, did you get your flu shot? Yeah. True.
Yeah.
It's almost, I don't know. I can't describe it. And of course, then I'm the only one that says, no, I didn't. It's everyone's choice.
Yeah, and there's quite a few medical professionals that don't want to get it either, so you're not alone. They see the fallout from some of these patients who get it, and they don't want to get it, so they're all, you know, on pins and needles trying not to get it. So improve the immune system, boost it, support it. God says he has herbs here for the service of man and healing of the nation. He can't lie, so let's just trust that. And if you want some immune system herbs, we got them at the Apothecary Herbs, and you give us a call at 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Have a great day.
You
thanks,
too, Wendy.
Bye.
Thank you. We'll see you next week, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading into a break. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter and the blog. You can listen to these programs live and archived right from the website, dgscoins.com. Well, Dave, do you want to share the news about what the Fed did today? We have been waiting breathlessly, waiting for their big announcement. Oh, my gosh. It's Daisy Greenspan all over again. It's just crazy. But, yeah, the Fed did cut their rates by 0.25%. I mean, as, of course, everybody expected. Now we're looking at a range of 1.5% to 1.75%. And, of course, the rate set, what the banks charge each other for overnight lending, is also tied to most forms of revolving consumer debt, this rate percentage. And, again, as we talked earlier this week, it was the third rate cut this week, or this year, I should say, as part of Powell's, the Fed Chair Jerome Powell, has basically characterized it as a mid-cycle adjustment in a maturing economic expansion. And this sounds like kind of nasty, but you know, when you have something that's maturing, you know what happens after it's matured. You know
what? And it dies.
It gets sick and dies. Yes. And I think I don't think we're in the mid cycle of this maturing economic expansion. I think we're at the end game of this maturing economic expansion. But along with the decrease, some language came that pointing to a higher bar for future easing. That's highly unlikely. The bar is so low now. I mean, you know, it's all kind of, you know, meaningless when you talk about a higher bar, when the Fed comes along and talks about a higher bar, considering how low it is right now. But they did remove a key clause that had appeared in post-meeting statements earlier that said it was committed to act as appropriate to sustain the expansion. What was it replaced with? Dave?
Well, what's being characterized as more tempered language, or I'd call it, in short, more Fed speak. The statement said, quoting now, the committee will continue to monitor the implications of incoming information for the economic outlook as it assesses the appropriate path of the target range for the federal funds rate. Now, you know, that could be interpreted a couple of different ways, but you know, the consensus interpretation is that there will now be a pause, you know, unless the data that the Fed the FOMC members are looking at between now and the December meeting, you know, unless that data is showing, I'm assuming, some significant slowdown and consistent slowdown indicators, you know, there won't be any additional easing in the rest of 2019. Now, calling it a mid-cycle adjustment, in my mind, has always been sort of a farce. How you could view what's been going on in the 10th year of an economic expansion as mid-cycle. I mean, you know, are they suggesting that, you know, this can be sustained for another decade? I mean, surely not. Not in the face of what the U.S., you know, much less a number of its more or less well-off sister countries across the globe are looking at these days. But so that was the new tempered language. Market participants had been looking for whether the Fed might start to signal that, you know, the policy accommodation, which had come following 9 rate hikes since December 2015, would be winding down. The new language suggests an increased level of data dependence rather than an ongoing intent to adjust rates lower. So while market pricing had been, you know, in the mid-90% for a cut at this meeting, traders are only seeing about a 25% probability of a move at the Fed's next meeting on December 10 and 11. So, you know, it's Fed speak, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, in their public speeches, Powell and a number of other Fed board governors, both voting and non-voting FOMC members this year, have characterized U.S. economy as strong, led by solid consumer spending, but threatened by outside factors such as global weakness, the U.S.-China trade war, and certain uncertainties associated with Brexit. So you know, there you have it.
People want to know how, you know, they can keep this going, how the consumer can keep it going. Well, hey, you know what? As long as these banks and the Federal Reserve work together in giving free money by debt to the consumer out there, they're going to scoop it up and they're going to go out and they're going to buy. So, I mean, they truly are controlled by more so the Fed, the banks, and getting the credit cards in the mail and so forth to easy credit to them, too. Only they pay far more. They pay dearly for their ability to go out and buy the new television sets and, you know, the new iPhones and iPads and all that kind of stuff when they put it on credit and they use their debt. So, yeah, they, as long as they keep pushing that money into the consumer's hand, yeah, because when you're 70% of the economy is based on their spending, they know they've got to push so much money in their hands just to keep this even at the level that we're at. And it looks like the, you know, with the markets done today and the GDP that was released, it looks sort of like, you know, the markets are buying it. You know, there was no adverse reaction to the GDP, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And the thing of it is, again, if it was just as strong and everybody's looking, why bother cutting the rates? You know, oh, well, we got to keep it strong. Well, you know what? That's kind of a I don't know if you'd actually call it an oxymoron, but it's kind of like it just doesn't even make sense to do the saying we have a strong economy when it's all based on debt. And it's debt that's not serviceable. That's the difference. If you had debt that could be serviced, well, you know, I mean, we're doing it, but not a very good job at it. And, you know, both this country and a lot of the people in this country are bankrupt. But, you know, and again, you got a couple of the Feds, Dave, that the regional presidents, a couple of them voted against a reduction, saying that should probably maintain and hold the line at the previous rate. Hold it for when you really need it. So what I'm thinking, I guess we really need it, or they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I guess so. It's certainly debatable, but it does seem like they're trying to create enough of advanced market expectation, i.e. this lower bar now for future rate increases, at least through the end of the year, so that come mid-December, you know, there won't be any surprises to the downside. Now, who knows what happens between now and then in the economy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to jump before we talk a little bit about Chile, what happened there. Let's go back to the business investment. You know, we often talk about the tax cuts might not have had the stimulating effect as promised, or at least it was short-lived. But according to a government data release this morning, business investment for the third quarter dropped 3% after falling 1% in the first quarter. Now, those drops mark a contrast to jumps of 4.4% in the first quarter and 4.8% in the fourth quarter of 2018. Those are big, big drops. The decline comes amid economic uncertainty, and of course, spurred in part, if not largely, by Trump's trade war with China. It casts uncertainty on his contention that the $1.5 trillion tax bill he signed in December of 2017 would be a boon for business investment, hiring, and wage growth. Well, I guess it was for two quarters. That's all we got out of it. Two quarters of good growth. The fall in business investment included a 15.3% drop in structures investment, which includes construction of new properties or mining wells, and a 3.8% fall in equipment investment.
Yeah, that same report pointed out that other factors contributing to the decline, the overall decline of 3%, may be more short-lived. For example, investment in aircraft fell 80%. Likely stemming from the challenges Boeing has had with the 737 MAX plane. However, there are other signs that more uncertainty may be creeping into the corporate boardrooms. Global deal making, which is often a sign of CEO confidence, fell in the third quarter. Total deal value dropped over 21% to $622 billion. Down from $790 billion. That's substantial. In the U.S., the value of deals dropped 32% to $263 billion from $387. Now, both these trends could reverse themselves, according to the Office of the U.S. Trade Rep, which said last week that China and U.S. are close to finalizing a Phase 1 trade deal. We'll talk a little bit more about that next. There's the question of when now this Phase 1 deal might be signed. Other data released today was, I guess you characterize it more optimistic. One of those, the monthly job reports, which we'll talk about a little later. Another that economic activity grew at a reported rate of 1.9% in the third quarter. Now, it's interesting. It's substantially down from where thinking as recent as the fourth quarter of last year, was seeing it well over 3%. So in that respect, this isn't a good number or an optimistic number at all in my mind. However, because consensus of economists, Melody, expected, just 1.6%. Rise in GDP, this three-tenths of a percent more is being viewed as optimistic. Go figure.
Well, I know. I think if anything is realistic, I think what we experience, and we all know the numbers are fudged and always revised. So who knows? The GDP... they actually revise it three times. So no one ever pays any attention to the revisions that are downward. But of course, if they increase it, then, bring out the champagne, crack that pop, and, let's celebrate. But, if it's down, no one ever hears a peep about it. It always goes back to the original number that was released. So let's just wait and see what some of those. I don't know if they came out with any revisions from the previous ones, but usually it's like after the month after the initial one is released. So, we'll have to see if they make any adjustments there. They did make some adjustments on private payrolls. They grew at a little bit faster. Do job reports come out the first, or will it wait till next week, Dave?
No, it'll be out Friday.
It will be out Friday. So we had the private payrolls. I guess this is from ADP, came out, Moody's Analytics. They said that companies hired 125,000 employees in October, 25,000 more than that was expected by economists that were polled by Dow Jones. Medium-sized businesses, those employing 50 to 499 people, led the pace. Large businesses added 44,000 jobs, while small businesses saw job expansions of 17,000. Payrolls with the services sector increased by 138,000, led by education and health services. Trade, transportation, utility businesses added 32. But we saw payrolls in goods production businesses, they decreased in 13,000. But Dave, tell us about how the September payrolls were revised downward. And to me, I think they were revised downward quite significantly.
Yeah, by 93,000. That is September payrolls. That's a decrease of 42,000 from the survey, the initial results released on October 2nd. Mark Zandi, who's chief economist at Moody's Analytics, said that job growth is throttled way back over the past year. The job slowdown is most pronounced at manufacturers and small companies. And he adds, if hiring weakens any further, unemployment will begin to rise. Well, we know that unemployment is much higher than the 3.5%, the headline number that the government talks about. Anyway, today's data will be used as a preview for the government's October jobs report, which is set for release on Friday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Melody.
Well, you know, Chile was going to have this Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Santiago in mid-November, and the president canceled this meeting, and it was going to be a big deal. Chile, it was a big deal because President Trump and China's President Xi Jinping, they were scheduled to meet at this gathering to discuss the phase one deal that's supposed to be close to being finalized. And so the cancellation was supposedly due to protests. The president of Chile is Sebastian Piñera. He said it was a very tough decision, but it's based on the wise principle of common sense. And but they've been having severe riots because of a proposed hike in public transport fares. And Chile's government extended a state of emergency to several cities across the country just last week. So a lot of uprising in a lot of place, and probably a smart thing to do, but kind of makes you wonder that Chile wouldn't have a little bit more, you know? I mean, how high of a risk was it? So is there something more to this? And there's my curious minds. My curious mind asking the question. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Well, heading into the break, we'll just finish this up real quick. I don't know if Dave has anything else he'd like to add to the about the cancellation of the APEC summit in Chile due to their riots and their state of emergencies to several cities. And this was going to be a big deal because the first phase of the China trade agreement was to be signed by President Trump and President Xi Jinping. So.
Yeah, I don't have anything substantive to add. I just this decision to cancel the summit. I don't know if cancel actually means cancel or if it will be postponed to another date, but it does bring up the question of when and where the two leaders will meet to sign this phase one deal.
And I don't know what other countries were involved that were coming to this summit.
And some others from South America, a number. I mean, obviously a number from the Far East and other parts of Asia. It's a big deal, I think, to have called it off. I mean, I guess it is a couple of weeks ahead of time, but...
I was wondering if... I was wondering if any of this had to do, you know, depending on which countries, with anything that's going over here and what's happened and, you know, with some of our foreign areas, if that had any impact on anything.
Yeah.
But we
Good
really
question.
Don't know what the reason is, but it's unusual.
Yes, it is.
I would say. So we'll keep you posted on that, ladies and gentlemen. And I know this is one of Dave's favorite parts, but the brevity is golden and has become certainly a stalwart of our Wednesday program. And it looks like today's topic is about food.
Well, in a roundabout way, it is. Food, Melody. Everyone knows that food's a really important part of our lives. Some more than others, some less than others, but few places apparently inspire the level of fandom and loyalty that's on display at 7 a.m. on Sundays in Brooklyn. Especially when a new 74,000 square foot branch of the incredibly popular Wegmans grocery store chain opened in the Navy Yard there. Hundreds of people lined up to shop at the family-owned business, with Wegmaniacs traveling 6 hours for the opportunity to walk around the brand new aisles. You know, this beloved suburban grocer, which has attracted a cult following, opened its first New York City store at the Brooklyn Navy Yard less than a week ago. And while I did say, you know, hundreds of people lined up, in fact, it was more than 1,000 came to the store over the course of the day to be among its first customers, many of them standing in line for a couple of hours in the pouring rain. So Wegmans comes to the area after nearly a decade of stalled promises to bring an affordable, quality supermarket to this once derelict stretch near Brooklyn's harbor. The chain has quite a cult following, as I mentioned. Fans across the Northeast, you know, call themselves Wegmaniacs. One of them knitted a suit made up of store bags. Interesting. Another wrote a High School Musical love story as an ode to the chain. Mm. On Sunday, shoppers glassy-eyed from having gotten out of bed so early, spoke of the immaculate bathrooms, the tomatoes that never rot, and more importantly, the kindness of the staff. In worker satisfaction surveys, Wegman routinely ranks among Fortune magazine's top 10 companies. So, at 74,000 square feet with over 50,000 products, Wegman's is bigger than most in New York, although this particular store in Brooklyn is said to be smaller than most Wegmans. And sure, it has prepared foods in a bar on the second floor. But Whole Foods has places to eat, too. Whatever Wegmans is, though, people love it. Notably, over 200 of the store's 500-plus employees were hired by the Brooklyn Navy Yard Development Corporation, which recruits from lower-income areas and assists with resume writing and interviewing skills. That melody is this week's Brevity is Golden.
You know, when I lived in State College, Port Matilda, there was a Wegmans up there. And that is one thing that I think is probably more recognizable in that store than many in today's world, and that is the people that work there. The service is, it really stands out. And they send their employees to school. They pay them well. It truly is like a family work ethic, I guess, within that store. And I love shopping there. It was just always and it used to be how retail stores used to be. When you walked in, you were kind of happy. You know, and I hate to grocery shop. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But when you went there, I guess because the quality, you know, yes, you paid more. It was a little more expensive than your normal grocery store. But when you went in there, you had choices of quality. And you don't have that in your grocery stores anymore. Most of them, they're dreary to walk into. So, yeah, you got to hand it to Wegmans. And I think more retail stores should probably take lessons on how to bring people into your stores instead of just letting them, you know, decay within. And maybe you'll get people to come and shop. I would much rather shop in a store than online any day. But there's nothing that, you know, takes me there. So, anyway.
Well, there's nothing like a grocery store melody where more than two carts going in opposite directions can actually fit in the same aisle at the same time.
At Wegmans, you could probably fit three. Place.
I know. Well, it's a great place to get exercise, too, because most of the stores are pretty gosh darn big.
But the thing of it is, when I was young, I can remember. I mean, that's one of my fond memories of going to the Friday nights. My grandparents would pick me up. We'd go have, you know, a hot dog, or we'd go and have a dinner somewhere, and we'd go to the grocery store. We knew exactly where every what thing was at every line. You know, you didn't. Sometimes I have to go up and down the store aisles 8 times before I find what I. But then maybe because I don't go a lot. But it was a memory, and it was a happy memory. And there was always a little toy aisle, you know, where maybe half the aisle was toys. So when we went in there, sure, us kids went right to the toy aisle. And
No, wait a second. Are you sure you're 39?
39 and a half.
Okay. All right. All right. You're just being a little bit more sentimental than I thought normal for a 39-year-old, but 39 and a half, I can understand that.
You get
that?
All right, yeah. Okay.
All right, you can change the subject now.
Thank you. But anyway, that was my advice for these retail stores for the day. this week, your weekly blog that's going to be published on Friday. What are you going to write about this week? Do you know yet?
Well, we're going to talk about gold and bonds.
Oh, get rid of those bonds, right?
That's right. This month's World Gold Council investment update says it may be time to replace bonds with gold. Well, WGC, as we'll call the council, we could have told you that a long time ago. No offense. In fact, listeners know we have numerous times. Now, this essay suggests, Melody, that as negative yielding debt increases globally alongside the stock-to-yield valuations to all-time highs, gold may become a more attractive, in fact, it has become a more attractive and effective diversifier than bonds. And that could justify a higher portfolio allocation than historical performance may suggest. Now, it's at this point in this discussion that, you know, we need to reiterate, although you know, I mean, we're not certified financial planners, so we're not saying it does justify and that you should increase your allocation. I mean, you should do your own homework or consult, someone who's certified in that planning field. But certainly based on everything we see, this is our opinion.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, it is going to happen. In times of trouble, you have...
Mother Mary comes to me.
Yes, you have you have fear and you have panic. And big money, yeah, they'll go to treasuries because they can move billions of dollars at the click of a few buttons. And then eventually that money, because there's always a lag, people always get upset, well, why isn't gold going up? Because there's always a lag time. And then that money goes into gold. And it's, you know, they can print these bonds 24/7. I guess they can, Dave. Print them 24/7, as long as you have a buyer for them. They led people to believe that these treasuries are guaranteed, that bonds are guaranteed, backed by the full faith of the United States government. That also gives the U.S. government the opportunity to default on the debt. They can revalue. Even President Trump in his campaign said that's what he's going to do. That's what has to be done.
Yeah. So they are revalued every day in the secondary market, in a sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. But a lot more than just, you know, I mean, massive, you know, from, you know, where people will lose. And because you have these bonds and treasuries, what, a third of portfolios?
Yeah, some more. I mean, I saw recently an asset allocation plan recommended by, you know, a mainstream money managing firm for someone who had just turned 65 that was 60% equities and 40% bonds.
Oh my
gosh.
Good,
you know, and the vast majority, I think it might have been 80% of the bond portfolio was governmental bonds, and the other 20, I guess, were highly rated corporate bonds. But, and you know, this is a mainstream company that whose name is familiar to, you know, a lot of investors, precious metal as well. So it's interesting. It's of concern, I think.
Well, just think what's going to happen to these portfolios that are allocated in that manner. I mean, these people will be devastated.
Yeah.
Literally devastated. You talk about a downward adjustment of your living standards.
I mean, only now are some, and they're not the largest advisory firms. I mean, they're more medium and smaller that are coming to the realization that they got to put their clients in, you know, some level of gold and silver. But they're still extremely hard sells. And among the big guys, I guess, we'd call them.
But I mean, isn't it, I mean, the way I would look at it, what a scam. You know, you entice people to where you basically have everyone saying that it's guaranteed, but fully knowing any time along the way, you can just rip it out from underneath them and, you know.
Well, they're making more off of equities than they are on gold purchases.
For now.
For one thing.
I'm talking about bonds and anything that can be revalued. Yeah. But I'm talking about bonds.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's unless you're buying direct. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
here's the one thing, ladies and gentlemen. We know that the federal government, over $22 trillion in gross debt out there. State and local governments with $7-9 trillion in unpaid debt. There's a big difference theoretically and in application. State and local governments almost always, there's a very, very tiny default rate, and that means that at least, you know, they're paying back the bondholders the principal. Federal government, on the other hand, U.S. Treasury, I'm not sure the last time a bondholder has been paid principal. It's just turned over and over and over as just more new debt is issued.
And and these little communities might, or these cities and states might not have defaulted yet, but I don't think, I think we live in a time where we're going to see a lot of it happening everywhere. So folks, you know, cover your exposure. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Great conversation, Dave. Thank you. And have a great night. Be safe and God bless.
Bye-bye.